I am Nakamura of NTT Docomo. Thank you very much for your precious time to attend this conference. As Mr. Suzuki mentioned, there's nothing special for us to provide today, but I would like to talk about the recent performance of the company. Well, in September, as usual, we have gone to Investor Relations Roadshow to the United States and Europe. And because the Japanese economy is achieving a steadfast recovery, we have seen a lot of questions regarding the midterm outlook of the economy rather than the short-term perspectives. And the response from the investors was that because we've been achieving a steadfast recovery in our share of net additions and a sharp decline in the churn rate, I think we have been seen a well response among the investors with regard to our recent performance. But due to the scheduled introduction of mobile number portability and the new possibility of having new entrants in the market, there were some uncertainties regarding the midterm management of the company. And as we have stated from before, we've been trying to make efforts in all areas regarding our handsets and network and after-sales support with a customer-oriented approach so that we can increase our competitiveness. With regard to dividends, because we have increased our dividend to 4,000 yen a share, although there were some comments for a possible further hike, but I think the decision to raise the dividends were well received. Now, with regard to the recent updates, of course, these are mostly already published, but with regard to the handsets, because of the diversified needs of the customers, we are not seeing a strong selling handsets any longer. And I think we have entered into an age that we have to offer a wide variety of handsets, but the sales per one unit could be smaller than before. So for the standard model of FOMA, we have released the 701i series and the FOMA Rakuraku phone model, the Doge handsets, which features artificial leather, and also the radio tuner embedded handsets. And with that, I think we've been able to increase the product lineup. As a result of these measures, on the 5th of August, the number of FOMA subscribers topped 15 million, and the migration is making steadfast progress. And as we announced the day before yesterday, because of the launch of one segment TV service in the near future, in perhaps April next year, we are going to release a new handset, P901iTV, which can support terrestrial digital TV service. And overseas, the iMod Alliance is making a steadfast expansion. From September, we started the service in Israel and Russia, and in October, UK will start iMod service, and altogether, iMod is available in 12 countries and regions. And in some markets, we've been conducting joint procurement of handsets, and these are delivering steadfast results. With regard to the pricing of our service, starting from November, we are going to offer a new rate plan. Of course, the conventional rate plans will remain intact, but we will add another rate plan. And we are now making the preparations to start this new rate plan. And from the e-site of Docomo's webpage, we have started accepting the service from applications from the 5th of September. And we have received approximately 500,000 inquiries or applications as of today. And from the 1st of October, we'll be accepting applications at Docomo shops. So I think quite a large number of subscribers will move to the new rate plans once that application is started at our Docomo shops. And with regard to our OSIF Keitai iMod Felica service, on the 3rd of September, the number of compatible handset users exceeded 6 million, and the number of shops supporting the service has reached some 24 million as of 24,000 as of the end of August. Of course, we've been trying to expand the installation of reader-writer machines, and and our competitors have also decided to launch the service. But in order to proliferate the service, I think we have to alter the culture of these usage. So from the 701 handset models, we are going to start a new service called Toruka, which enable customers to retrieve extra information such as the coupon or campaign information of outlets through the cellular phone handsets. We've also started a new service called iChannel, which is available currently only on the 701 handsets. And iChannel service enables push information delivery. Because we have started data flat rate service, this puts a price cap on the high usage customers. Therefore, in order to boost the usage among the low usage customers, we have decided to introduce this new service, this push delivery service, in order to encourage the data usage among the low usage customers. So this service is available on the 701 handsets, and some 30% of the customers who purchased the 701 handsets have subscribed for iChannel service. In the end of October, we are going to announce the first half results. And so today, I just wanted to give you some updates in the meantime, prior to the release of the first half results in the end of October. Thank you very much for your attention.
Now, I would like to entertain questions from the floor. Are there any questions? Please raise your hand if you have any questions. The person to the far end of this room, please. I'm Matsuda from Bloomberg News. E-Access, in fact, has made an application for market entry into mobile business. In fact, Chairman Senmoto has mentioned in a press conference that from a standpoint of fair competition centered around Docomo, for the last two-year period, he was, in fact, stating that they are looking towards Docomo for cooperation. On top of their application to new market entry, can you give a comment on this statement? E-Access and SoftBank, in fact, have, as expected, made their statement, and I believe it remains to be seen how Mr. Son will reply and respond to these developments. In fact, we believe in terms of roaming, if it is given within 300 billion with regards to the network, I may suggest that it may not require roaming in the first place. However, in specific terms, SoftBank and E-Access, we haven't received any specific proposals or approaches. Therefore, there is no activity ongoing to this. However, if it is going to be provided on a temporary basis and on a win-win basis, the conditions will be very strict on the term and period, as well as the geographic coverage, and the tariff structures will naturally be more demanding from our side. I believe that answers your question. Next.
Yes, please. I see a hand over there. Nikkei, my name is Hanzawa. With regard to new entrants, I have two questions. First, two companies have already announced their intention to enter the market. And if they enter the market, will they cause any confusion in the market? Are there any concerns on the part of incumbents? For example, KDDI mentioned to the ministry that they should have a system that will prevent the new entrants to sell off the new companies in a short period of time. So do you see any concerns with regard to possible disturbance or confusions in the market caused by the new entrants? The second question that I have is that E-Access. has chosen Goldman Sachs as their partner. DDI Pocket also has fund from Carlyle, which is currently known as Wilcom. So those foreign funds are now entering the business. How do you perceive that situation from your viewpoint? So those are the two questions that I have to you. The first question, the cell phone business, of course, are based on the customers, subscribers, and we should avoid any confusions to the subscribers, and that is very important. So in that sense, the new entrants, financial conditions and the business plans will have to be scrutinized. That's what I believe, and I believe that a ministry will do that quite fairly and strictly. And basically, these foreign funds, if they are used for the establishment of new businesses, 300 billion yen, of course, is a large sum of money. And I think they will be utilized quite effectively for the entrance of new business. But if that is based on speculation or only for the sake of financial returns, I don't think that will be appropriate. They should always not forget that there are always customers behind the service at their extension. So that's what I want to say.
I believe that answers your question. Any other questions? Please. I'm Kinoshita from Toyo Keizai magazine. I have three questions. First, regards to fixed mobile conversions, or FMC, to what extent you believe this is a natural evolution, especially the fixed systems? I believe it will start from integrated billing, for instance. Are there any time frames under which you will start negotiations or discussions on this juncture? Yes, I'll first answer your question. FMC will be enabled by technology, and if it benefits the subscribers, in that case, it will be most natural as an evolution. But most naturally, especially in the corporate arena first, to see fixed and mobile conversions, to have Wi-Fi or wireless LAN in the office to provide access to fixed networks, and outside the office to use the mobile. By us launching the 900IL, in fact, which was a natural assumption and would be first started by corporate businesses. And part of how we're going to address this as a group is for services that customers demand. On our part, we will make our best efforts in our preparations, most naturally. In this sense, as the companies are divided in the group, we will cooperate wherever we can. However, with regards to rates and billings, if we operate on different systems, it does represent a number of technical challenges. So it will not come overnight because it needs to be addressed in technical terms. But if you can carry your handsets, and if you're going to be billed by a number of operators, that would be inconvenient, to be quite honest. Therefore, to the mid to long term, I believe we will have to have in view system integration and to further address this. My second question is that Wilcom introduced a data flat rate handset, provides microcell systems to provide a different rates or billing scales or tariffs. In fact, we did have number portability and other factors within the industry that has prevented this in the past. But how do you see this movement? Flat rate billing, in our case, is intertwined to a greater degree with the network. Forma at last has stopped 15 million. And in fact, 1.7 giga, I believe, in the third quarter will be applied as we are catching on on the subscriber base. Therefore, we have to balance this well with the capacity of the network. And therefore, in our case, it's quite difficult to, in fact, solve everything by rating plans. which is our disadvantage in a sense. However, data communications to a longer time frame, to an extent, I believe, will migrate to or evolve to that direction. By looking at the network as well as speeds, with regards to WorldCom, we will have to make considerations. However, at this moment, we will not make any major move for the current moment. And third, the newspaper has reported JCB is, in fact, is looking for new shareholders. And in fact, the Mitsui Sumitomo equity investment that you have made, you are still to firm out the negotiations or the content with them in details. Can you give us more details on what is your ideas or strategy to the credit card business, including JCB and Mitsui Sumitomo? I have mentioned earlier that it should be an open system, which should benefit ultimately subscribers and consumers. Therefore, in this context, we believe we should broaden the base, but we do not have anything specific to announce at this moment.
Any other questions? Yes, the person at the very back of the room. Asahi Shimbun, Nishimura. My first question is about AU. AU is now negotiating the alliance with Toden, and how do you perceive that? And also, there was another report regarding the reorganization of the NTT Group the other day. So within the NTT Group, how Docomo would, do you think, what kind of reorganization within the NTT Group do you anticipate, and what kind of position will Docomo take after that reorganization, in your view? Well, AU and Toden, I think there might be many discussions, and I'm not in a position to comment on that one. But NTT Group has to consider its future, and the main issue that has to be taken into account when that is done is the customers. KDDI, of course, I know that they have their own opinions, and I am aware of that. But KDDI, with the integration of Tuca, they have become I think they will become a significant market power in the cellular phone business. So, having fixed and mobile under the same umbrella as KDDI will provide them with a very powerful position. And Docomo does not have that structure, so each company, in order to respond to the customers, they think they have to strive. The network, how to align the network or integrate the network is not the option that we are seeking, and that is never commented by NTT, and I haven't even commented on that possibility either. But I think we should try to provide fixed mobile convergence in one way or another, and that is the basic direction.
The person to the front, please. I'm Ichima from Nikkei Communications. I have two questions. The share restrictions or constraints, KDDI, in fact, has a lower share or a constraint coming from their market share, and Docomo has a higher constraint from their dominant market share. Does this disadvantage you? And second, 25% and so forth with regards to share, what is your idea and insight to this? This is a very challenging question, I must admit. With regards to type 2 carrier restrictions, as we have to disclose the tariff and interconnection relations and agreements, I think this is most natural. And it's not necessarily demanded by its nature by being a type 2 designated carrier by restrictions. As I've mentioned, as we are Well, we are regarded as a dominant carrier player. I don't think this is necessarily required. And as long as we serve the customers the best, we will disclose tariff arrangements and so forth. And in this sense, we believe the restrictions should not overburden us. My second question is in the primary sense that you would like to have fixed networks on part of yourself, and with regards to numbering systems, which would be your preferred numbering system? Or my second question. I don't think most naturally by having East and Western communications and us being in a group, it won't turn out as speculated. We don't have any options in mind to have a fixed network of our own. With regards to numbering systems, whether we should go by 090 or 050 or whether 060 or any other numbering system, we should consider make further considerations on this first. However, as a major direction or megatrends, 090 in the case of the UK would be most beneficial to consumers because they're used to it. But the Ministry of Communications has given a direction, and we should make considerations further, which would best serve the subscribers. I don't think there is a fixed solution from the beginning.
Fuji Sankei Business Eye. The other day, I think you have unveiled your product for the one segment terrestrial broadcasting service. And this handset, how and when are you going to release these handsets to the market? And from a mobile phone carrier's point of view, I think it is very hard to foresee what the business model will be like. But how do you perceive on this issue? By the end of the year, or maybe early next year, calendar year, we would like to introduce these handsets to the market. And as you mentioned correctly, one segment service business model is quite difficult. Of course, just only by providing TV programs simultaneously is not really attractive because the cell phone will just be another receiver for the TV phone service. But we'll be able to, I think, link these terrestrial broadcasting service with our iModa service, for example, to provide some additional value, for example. That's what we are considering. And the handsets will be released in time for the launch of the terrestrial broadcasting service.
Any other questions? I'm Tomioka from Sankei Newspaper. The next generation systems, or WiMAX, in fact, to open the 2.5 gigahertz bands in order to provide, in fact, WiMAX as well as high transmission speed wireless communications. I believe WiMAX, you have not been too aggressive on adopting this technology. Do you regard WiMAX as, in fact, this high-speed transmission on a fixed network to eventually expand to the wireless area? And do you regard it as a competitor or a competing technology? With regards to future mobile technology and the network, I believe 4G is the next step, primary step, I believe. And at the same time, we see the emergence of WiMAX. The so-called 3G will explore avenues in increasing their capacity and transmission speeds. I don't believe WiMAX is our enemy, though it still has problems that it needs to be that it needs to solve out. But we are very focused on how it develops going further. Higher transmission speeds could be enabled by fixed networks, and the scope of their application, whether they would be in metropolitan areas or expanded to other rural areas. In that sense, we have a high attention focused on WiMAX. 4G together with new technologies such as WiMAX is our largest interest area that we follow closely.
Wall Street Journal. Utsu, my name. I have two questions. One is about music downloading service. The Chakuta Full service, this music downloading service, is now emerging itself as a one of the killer contents for 3G. Is Docomo planning to enter proactively to the music downloading service? Otherwise, it seems to me that you might lose or you might not be able to capture the opportunities that is provided by this business. The second question is about the foreign vendor handsets. I think the foreign vendor handsets are being used more widely than before, but do you think that this trend will continue further in the future? And is Docomo planning to adopt handsets from foreign vendors more widely?
Well, the music downloading service, and I believe music is a very important service for us.
And after the 900 I series, we've been providing handsets that are compatible with the music downloading and storage. But the problem is that the download speed is still limited, and currently it is difficult for us to enhance the speed of music downloading. And therefore, we have to wait for the introduction of HSDPA. Once HSDPA is deployed, we'll be able to eliminate this problem. So we'll try to introduce HSDPA so that we can enhance the speed for downloading music. And we still believe that music is a very important service area for us. Now, with regard to the handsets from foreign vendors, as I mentioned earlier, we are forming the iMod Alliance. And with that, we would like to leverage handsets that combines iMod 3G and GSM. And we would like to provide and procure these handsets in massive quantities at lower costs with high quality. So it is very important for us to procure handsets from overseas and also export Japanese handsets to the European markets and other markets. So that will be a very important challenge for us going forward, and importing foreign vendor handsets to the Japanese market is very important, especially from the viewpoint of cost reduction. But in fact, right now, the Japanese customers are quite demanding, and many of our customers demand high-quality handsets. So the foreign vendors' handsets, to some extent, have to be customized to tailor to the needs of the Japanese consumers. But we are going to procure handsets from the likes of LG, and those will be shortly available. So we have expectations from to these foreign vendors. So yes, my answer is yes, we would like to see an increase of those handsets.
I'm Yoshino from NHK. E-access, the roaming, a question previously, if FISC is going to be enabled or if they could lay facilities by 300 billion yen, that would not necessitate the roaming agreements, because you have invested already two trillion in terms of former CapEx. Well, with this investment, E-Access is going to deploy nationwide services and to acquire 10% of the share. Vendor financing of several tens and billions of yen is assumed to provide SoftBank with their CapEx or capital expenditure. Are you willing to provide roaming to these two new entrants? You've mentioned in a rather negative tone that it would be harsh in terms of business terms and conditions to make it a win-win relationship. And my question is to confirm your intention of whether you regard roaming is essential. Well, I must admit that as we were the first commercial operator, we had to expense quite amount of capex. I'm not sure whether 300 billion is the right amount to invest, but they say that's enough to for national deployment. But I believe that in our experience, the amount of investment required would be enormous, and that would require a long or more extended time frame. And I do believe that may, in fact, require roaming. However, if it's going to be managed under 300 billion, it would be provided overnight. So in that sense, I don't think it necessitates roaming. SoftBank's vendor finance, this arrangement, what's the assumed risk? And a number of issues have been suggested, but what is your insight to this? I think it's up on the vendor's risk assessment. And we are not in a position to give any views on this. However, though I'm not certain, is that vendor financed facility going to be owned fully by SoftBank? Because we have been a facility-based operator operating out of our own facilities, and their business model would be quite different from ours, but it is not exceptionally rare in the global scene, however. Another question is that the NTT regrouping or realignment of grouping amongst the group companies. I may dig further as to say that your corporate business might be shifted to NTT Com. But, well, setting aside the details, what is your view or assessment or valuation of this business case? We haven't made any discussions on our part yet. We haven't discussed amongst the three companies or entities concerned of how we should divide or take responsibility, full responsibility, which entity for corporate businesses. I believe corporate businesses with technical evolution would become a major source of business, but most naturally, many considerations should be made. But as a natural evolution, we will have to make proposals by FMC, and our assumptions only go as far as that point. Further details of what forms of arrangements are most desirable, and whether we're going to fully relocate our corporate business people to COM, and whether that would be a suffice option. I believe, in fact, the system as well as the pricing side enabling FMC are the crucial elements. I do believe everything needs to be addressed in the most flexible manner, and we're not necessarily trying to protect our position as it's a competitive market. We should take the most desirable form of cooperation. However, we haven't discussed this in specific terms yet.
Any other questions? Yes. Nihon Keizai, Mori. The number of former subscribers is growing steadily, as you mentioned. But the new subscribers who have just recently migrated to former, how is their usage? Are they using the 900 series handsets? If you divide between 900 series and 700 series, which is most selling more? 70% are 900 phones, and 30% of the sales are 700 phones. Well, when we made a plan, our target was to divide by 60 to 40, but we haven't been able to achieve that target yet. But the 700 phones are more design-oriented and stylish, so we have expectations for the recently launched 700i model.
That answers your question. Next question. I'm Suketomo from JapFruits. My question is, for HSDPA, I think by the end of 05, as far as I recollect, you have made announcements for what you're going to upstart from April next year, and as the announcement has not yet come, as it was originally planned for the end of this calendar year 05, how much has it advanced as planned? The plan has progressed smoothly. In fact, at the earlier point in fiscal 06, we will start launch by providing all what needs to be completed by end of fiscal 05. One or two more questions.
IT Media, Saito. At the outset, you mentioned that small quantity but wide variety of handsets will be the trend for the future. But do you think that trend will continue for a long time? And if that is the case, what will be the impact, especially in the cost area? There might be some concerns, and what are you going to take as a countermeasure if that entails larger costs? Well, the answer is that, yes, I believe that wider variety but less quantity handsets will continue. I don't think one model will sell in massive quantities any longer. 3 to 4 years ago, operators were able to present the new features and functions to the handsets and took the initiative in developing the handset products. But nowadays, the customers are already aware that there are the types of handsets to be provided by the operators. So they are seeking something new. And therefore, the demand has been more diversified than before. So therefore, that, as you mentioned correctly, will entail larger cost on our part and also on the manufacturers, because manufacturers will not maybe be able to achieve hefty profits by just one model. So therefore, we are trying to utilize common platforms across multiple vendors and using common specifications across the handsets in order to reduce costs. So whatever that can be utilized will have to be utilized in order to reduce the cost. And I think that's the way that we'll try to survive in this market.
One last question. The person to the very end is this room. I'm Matsuda from Bloomberg News. On the 29th, the Docomo senior management has, in fact, been interviewed by a foreign media newspaper with regards to how to develop businesses through M&A in Europe as well as in the United States. The statement was to aggressively pursue opportunities. On this occasion, I'd like to ask your strategy on international overseas investments. We are currently addressing, first amongst the many, the markets are getting more connected and getting more global to each other to reduce handset costs and base station costs, especially to the longer run. We believe we're at last opening the first chapter of the age of mass production, of seeking merits on volume production. The i-mode alliance that we have developed primarily out of Europe exactly fits to this objective. The three elements that we would like to enhance into handsets, as I've mentioned, by seeing co-purchases and on quantity merits to reduce handset prices is a major trend and direction. The next critical element is how we can develop in Asia. We only have i-mode alliances with Singapore and Taiwan. Singapore is a European communication system that they operate. However, to Taiwan, we have made minor investments. So how can we expand this horizon to the rest of Asia? I don't believe that a single European standard or communication systems will prevail in this region. And I believe as 3G is to be fully launched in the coming years in Asia, as well as we're going to deploy 3G wideband CDMA, if there are opportunities that we may consider that would require minority investments, we will consider them. However, if i-mode alliances suffice, that would be better, so we'd like to seek that option. Therefore, in terms of cost reasons, we will have to expand our alliance overseas. And also, the handsets will represent more varieties, including 3G. And in this sense, we can develop various businesses, especially GPS systems and businesses that we provide in Japan are global in their appeal, I believe. And also to expand our base of our business, we will explore opportunities in overseas operators and service providers through M&A, for instance. However, I don't think their businesses are large, so investments would be rather limited. However, we will explore a wider variety or spectrum of investees in related areas to 3G applications, which are the two areas we're going to focus. Minority means that you're not going to seek majority investment. In Asia, our primary focus is given this extended geographical coverage. How should we provide coverage? In that sense, we are not yet decided of whether we should take majority stake, but our basic approach is to alliance. However, if there are operators who require funding on a case-by-case basis, we will consider it further.
Thank you very much. We will now like to close this press conference. Thank you very much for your precious time.